So when you think about this issue of acquiring customers or attracting customers that you want to bring in and especially keep, is that strictly just an emotional? Is that an emotional decision? Or is there actually some science behind it? Stay tuned and find out more. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Innovation Driven Growth Podcast. Here we examine what enables true creativity, how to convert ideas into innovation, and seek out what ignites enterprise-wide growth. I'm your host, entrepreneur, strategist, and muser of metacognition, David Peterson. So how important are emotions when somebody's making a decision? I'm specifically thinking about a young millennial or a Gen Z, this younger person, say under 35, maybe all the way down to 18-ish, at least if we're thinking of adults. And they're thinking about making some type of financial banking payment decision, right? This whole question kind of came to my mind when I was perusing an article from our friends at the Financial Brand, and it touched on the trending use of behavioral analytics in targeting new customers. It's a fascinating article, and you will find a link to that article in the show notes. Now, if you read the article, it outlines the nature of how emotion plays into decisions on things like opening a new account and the effective use of data related to prospect behaviors. Now, you've probably, if you've been listening to these podcasts, you've heard me opine on how financial institutions specifically can be effective in using the rich amount of data that they have. So I found this article especially interesting. An especially compelling point is that while we often make decisions using our heart, i.e. with emotion, financial decisions are more likely to be sound if we use our head. Yet when people are confused or lack the information needed to make a well-thought-out decision, they reach out to family and friends or even social media and find out what everyone else like them is doing or saying or thinking about that issue. Now, this often leads to emotional decisions about banking and payments that may not always be in their best interest. And I think this can be illustrated in how a lot of young people do their banking today. So some people will bank where their parents banked, even grandparents. I met a very nice woman here just recently whose account was opened when she was literally a baby, like 2-3 months old, by her grandfather. And then she just kept it all through the years. In fact, she related a really funny story about as a 22-year-old going in to apply for a loan, and the person running the terminal was shocked because she had had her account for 21 years. Incredible. So these young people that have, you know, maybe be the recipients of accounts that were opened, you know, well before they had any kind of knowledge about how they themselves may want to transact. But now a lot of young people today are much more involved in what we would call an alternative payment service, maybe like Venmo. And it's pretty sure that maybe Venmo and the idea of using Venmo didn't come from their parents. They found out about it by social media or even their friends. And the fact that Venmo enables features such as emojis associated with payments even further solidifies the nature of emotions in the transaction banking dynamics. What are emojis? They're an emotional graphic that somehow attributes an emotion to a specific text or activity. So they buy a pizza and they're paying their friends for their share of the pizza, and they put a pizza emoji on there. And just the fact that they can do those emojis is a big deal as to why a lot of young people even use Venmo at all. So if you're a financial institution, what would you do? What are you doing? What could you do that sort of ties into this emotional aspect of making decisions and then turn that into a way that you can attract those younger prospects into coming to bank with you? I believe that financial institutions can positively harness an emotional response or use emotions as a part of the prospecting activity. Now, very careful. And I mean, be very careful here. I am not talking about abusing potential new customers. But if we could paternalistically use emotion to assist them to make good financial decisions. One way they could do this is by focus on effective storytelling, targeting stories that highlight the financial success of young people just like them that an institution is looking to attract. So again, if you think about a financial institution, what's your best way to emotionally connect with a young person? Is it to put out the equivalent of some brochureware on Facebook, or would it be to have a 15 or 30 second TikTok video that actually highlights a person who is in their age demographic that the bank was able to help in some way? I think clearly the latter. Now, I'm a big fan of storytelling. Good storytelling elicits emotional responses. So if you think about the financial brand article and go back to that, there's this Princeton neuroscientist that's mentioned that had determined that stories activate a particular part of the brain that converts the story into the listener's own idea. Let me repeat that. It's super important. Watching or listening to a story, and in this one part of the brain, somehow, instead of it just being a story that I heard or a story that somebody told to, it then becomes something that they thought of themselves. Now, you say, oh, David, but it clearly sounds like you're manipulating, right, those customers. I'm not talking about some kind of crazy brainwave machine or you're putting a chip in. I'm not talking to any of that. I'm just talking about how our brain chemistry works, and that we would be able to take advantage of it. And I keep saying over and over and over again, every business, but particularly financial institutions, had better start being better storytellers. It's so important that you focus on telling stories, and that shows and highlights how people who make good financial decisions have good outcomes. You don't necessarily have to go to the bad, right? I think by highlighting the good, you're saying, in effect, the bad. But every now and then, having a story of somebody who chose, let's say, a not great decision from a payments financial standpoint, and it turned out to be bad, isn't necessarily problematic. It's okay, especially if that happened, and then you, as a financial institution, in some form or fashion, help them remediate or overcome that problem. We've got to focus on telling stories, and those stories have to highlight making good financial decisions. And we do it from a paternalistic, in our customers' and young prospects' best interests, focusing on assisting those customers in continually making good financial decisions. Now, there's a bunch of good ideas that are in that article, particularly when it comes to marketing messages that an organization would create to sway new and existing customers to open accounts. Now, while the examples referenced might seem so, I don't know, simple, so obvious, the results speak for themselves. A well-crafted message based in behavioral science can trigger a positive response. Similarly, a message that alludes to potential downsides for leaving can also be effective. Again, it has to be done, you know, professionally, done in the right way. But here's what happens if you're not doing transactions the right way, similar to what I said earlier. Inertia keeps a lot of people from making financial institution changes. So it could be that an emotional decision would trigger an impulse negative response, causing someone to want to or actually move their account. This is the grass is always greener effect at work. And in the end, most people want to know that the decisions they make align with the other people they consider to be their peers or people that they respect. So if they're a high school student, they're thinking about and listening to what other high school students say about it. And college students listen to other college students. Some people still have a great respect for their parents or other adults in their lives, but they're looking for that affirmation, right? So we have to, if we want to specifically appeal to those, we will be appropriately using data and marketing that's in our customers' best interest, but not put aside cutting-edge behavioral analytics and using that data to make compelling appeals and effective storytelling that is in our customers' best interest. That's paternalistic. Hey, what do you think about this? Reach out to me. My contact information is coming up here in mere moments. I'd love to hear what you have to say or think about the use of behavioral analytics. Thanks again for investing your valuable time listening to the Innovation Driven Growth podcast. I covet your questions, comments, or critique. You can reach me at david@davidpeterson.com. I'm also on Facebook at DP Speaks and everywhere else on social media at DLP Speaks. I look forward to hearing from you, and be sure to look for a new episode soon.